Greetings to each of you this morning. Get my stuff in a row here first. Dale asked the question, what stood out to you this week in Scripture? And I'll get to that. I think I have it in my notes, so I'll get to that for me. I could have just handed him the notes. I think he was just about getting set up just right. He could have just kept right on going with it. But my question this morning, and I'm probably going to ask this a couple times this morning, is why do you pray? And for those of you that were here last week, you probably know where I'm going and why. The ones that weren't here last week, we ask as a thrift store for prayer for a warehouse manager. We've been looking, and we also talked about fasting as well, and that God would direct us. And so that's kind of where my mind has been this week. I have been thinking a lot on prayer, on fasting. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that. In Matthew 6, Jesus, the disciples were desiring that God would, that Jesus would teach them how to pray. And in Matthew 6, verse 5, Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you has done in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I'll stop right there this morning. Jesus gave us an example of how to pray. Looking to the Father, relying on him, knowing that our dependence comes from him. So again, I ask this question this morning, why do you pray? This morning I want to look at seven reasons, first of all, for prayer. The first one is prayer is how we present our needs and desires to God. In verse 8, God already knows our needs before we ask. However, he wants us to take the initiative to request for his intervention into our lives. We all know the verse in Matthew 7:7 very well. "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open." Philippians 4:6-7 says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There's a lot of things in life that we ask God that relate to our needs, like wisdom in a purchase, protection while traveling, healing during sickness, or healing from a disease. These are okay. God wants to be involved in this part of our lives. But we should not stop there as well. We should seek God in our spiritual lives as well. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And in James 1:5, it also says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. God wants to see us set our minds on eternal value, to strive to think like him. We do so by seeking him through prayer. Number two, prayer underscores our dependence on God. We may think we have everything under control. Our society around us boasts by being self-made, self-taught, relying on our own strength. God wants you and I to remember how much we need him. To remember it is he who sustains us, not ourselves. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. When you and I pray, we're not only telling God that we don't have all the answers, we also remind ourselves how much we need him. It is God who has the resources and the tools at his disposal to remedy the situations that we find ourselves in from day to day. Number three, prayer helps to grow our faith and trust in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is the foundation of Christianity. Without it, one cannot please God. Prayer grows our faith. As we ask God for direction and see him work, sometimes he answers the way we expect, sometimes maybe not exactly like we expect, or like we heard this morning in Sunday school, sometimes it doesn't come right away, sometimes we wait. But he gives us peace, and most of the times we will see that his way is best. Other times we may not understand, but we know that his ways are higher than ours, and we trust him, knowing by his word that he has in mind what is best for us. There was a story. This was from during the dark days of World War II. There was a 500-pound bomb that fell outside of a little home, Mr. Patey, a young father in Liverpool, England, but the bomb did not go off. His wife had died. He was raising his five children alone. He gathered them together at this very anxious time for family prayer. They all prayed earnestly, and when they had finished praying, the children said, Daddy, we will be all right. We will be all right in our home tonight. And so they went to bed. With that terrific bomb lying just outside the door, half submerged in the ground. If it would have gone off, it would have destroyed probably 40, 50 houses and killed hundreds of people. The next morning, the whole neighborhood was removed for 48 hours, and the bomb was finally taken away. On the way back, Patey asked the foreman of the ARP squad, well, what did you find? He replied, Mr. Patey, we got the bomb outside of your door. We got at the bomb outside of your door and found it ready to explode at any moment. There was nothing wrong with it. We are puzzled why it did not go off. Prayer changes things. God knows what we need before we ask him. He wants you and I to ask. There are thousands of stories of how God has moved when people call on him. I would venture to say each one of us could tell a story this morning of how you prayed and how God moved. When we call on God and we see Him move, this increases our faith. Here a couple of weeks ago, Declan had come home from school and he had an earache. And it was one of those that you just couldn't get away from it. And anyhow, it was pretty hard. And anyhow, Nicole and I, we said, let's go for a little walk. And we took a walk down the lane. And I said, what do you think? We should maybe pray for Declan. And we stopped and we prayed there on the lane for Declan. And we walked back up to the house. It was a little bit. I think we actually went and jumped on the trampoline a little bit. And then we walked into the house. And we walked into the house and Declan came down. He was ready to play a game. And here's his earache was gone. So it just I just marveled at how God answers, but also for young ones like that, as they also pray and see God move, the increase of faith that does on their part as well. Prayer increases our faith. Number four, prayer is a vehicle to offer thanks and praise. Prayer is one of the main ways to offer thanks and praise our God. In Philippians 4:6, Paul said this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Expressing thanks to God reminds us of all the things that He has done in our lives. How often have I asked God for something? And God answers, and we never come back and thank Him. By acknowledging our blessings and thanking God for them, it helps shift our focus from what we think we lack to what we have been given. My mind was drawn to Paul and Silas this week as I think of thanking God. They were beaten. They were thrown in prison. And it says they sang hymns. They gave praise to God. What could have looked like a poor situation, hard situation, they found ways to thank God and express their thanks to God. And in doing this, the jailer was led to the Lord. We ought to be a grateful people. Prayer is one of the ways to express gratitude to God. Number five, prayer is a way to petition for the needs of others. God wants us to intercede for each other. In James 5:16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." But He doesn't just want us to pray just for those that we love, those that we get along with, but also in Matthew 5:44, He says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." We can go through Scripture. There are many examples in the Scripture of praying for others, including Jesus praying for others as well. Not only does God want us to intercede for others, but also to pray for others. This takes the focus off of our problems and puts it on looking out for others. Number six, prayer helps us align our hopes with God's plans. Again, in the passage that we read here in Matthew 6, in verse 10, it says, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Asking that God's plan, his ultimate plan, would be fulfilled. It is easy to get caught up in life, circumstances, things happening, just life. Prayer helps us to keep focus. You and I ought to pray that God would open doors for us to share his gospel, to encourage others, that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth. It is easy as we live life in a fallen world. In Mark 4:19, it says in the parable of the sower, it says this: the cares of the world, the deceitful riches, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things choke out the word. It is easy to lose focus if we are not careful. Prayer is important to keep our minds and our goals aligned with God's. Number 7, prayer deepens our relationship with God. We all know that relationships require two-way communication. That is true with our relationship with others, and it's true with our relationship with God as well. Praying in these ways, seeking him, thanking him, yielding to him, tells God that you and I want his involvement in our lives. Psalm 145:18 assures this: the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all that call on him in truth. In James 4, verse 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If you and I want a deep connection with God, it takes frequent conversation with him. So why do you pray? Prayer is the lifeline. Without prayer and God's word, one will not survive spiritually. It is our connection to the source of life. It is our connection to God. So now, the next question: why fast? Matthew 6, verse 16, Jesus went on. I stopped right there, and now I'm going to go ahead and read on. It's where Jesus says about fasting. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And when your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 16, I found it interesting. I actually heard someone else say this, and so I'm kind of taking it from them. But Jesus here didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. Today, people sometimes fast for health benefits. I saw a quote that said, if you fast without prayer and meditation, you're simply going hungry. Fasting is a means of focusing our minds and bodies for a spiritual purpose. To humble our soul and to seek God. There are multiple purposes, multiple ways of fasting. Examples given in Scripture. And I put references to them. If you want them, I can give them to you. If you want to look them up, I went through and actually read all of them, and it was actually very interesting to see, as you read, the different ways that they fasted, and then also to see how God answered their prayers. some of them might step on your toe a little bit, and that's good for us. But different reasons for fasting: to seek God's guidance. And often in the Old Testament, they fasted for grief, to seek deliverance and protection, to express repentance and return to God, to express concern for God's work, to minister to the needs of others, to overcome temptation, and to express love and worship. These are some of those that are examples of why and what they fasted for in the Bible. And then we can see how God moved when people fasted. I think I read this verse again, said it before, but I'm going to read it again. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It is interesting, as we look into Scripture and as we look into, as people seek God and to see how he moves. One of the stories that I read this week, and it was about fasting, was about Nehemiah in Nehemiah 1. And as I read the story, I was, again, my mind was drawn towards a thrift store as we started and as we came together as a group fast, and how God opened the doors. Nehemiah here in Nehemiah 1 was, they had been taken captive, and he was seeking God. He was fasting and praying for the ruins, because Jerusalem laid in ruins, and also because Israel was taken captive. And then when God spoke to him, God not only said that he was going to send Nehemiah back to rebuild, but along with that, he set it up, God opened the doors to where King Artaxerxes was, he gave him the supplies. Was it Artaxerxes? Now I'm questioning myself whether I said the right name there, or if it was Ahasuerus. I can't remember for sure now. But the king at the time where Nehemiah was serving under, he gave him the supplies. He gave him soldier escort back to Jerusalem. Again, as he fasted to see how God opened the doors and supplied the needs. God has done that over and over in Scripture, and He's done that over and over as we read stories, even today, how people seek God and how God answers those prayers. The other one that I read about this week was 2 Chronicles 20, verse 11. I'm gonna actually read verse 11 here in just a little bit. But as we, as a thrift store board, were together the other night, and we've been looking for a warehouse manager, and we've knocked on doors, we've made phone calls, and it's just at this point, nothing has opened up. And the comment was made the other night, we feel like somehow we know that God has moved, and we believe that God will continue. Somehow we're just knocking on the wrong doors. Somehow we don't feel like maybe we're just looking at the wrong places, and we need God to direct us. In 2 Chronicles 20, the reason this one stood out to me is I think we feel just a little bit like Jehoshaphat did. Now, we're not coming into war, okay? They were coming into war, and they were like, how are they going to win? But in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat said this. He said, "See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as inheritance." Sorry, that's not. I'm sorry, it's verse 12. It says, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us." And then Jehoshaphat said this, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Jehoshaphat was the same way. He was come up against a spot, and they, as a group, fasted, they prayed, and they asked God. He said, "You direct us, you show us what to do." And if you are going into army, as this group was here, He led them into army in probably one of the most unlikely ways of winning an army that you could probably, it would seem like you could imagine. But he took the choir. God said, you go up and I will take care of you. But he set the choir out in front of them, in front of their whole army, and they went into battle singing praises to God. They went in saying this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." And as they came into battle and they heard the choir, the opposing army were in confusion, and they turned on each other, and the Israelites didn't have to do anything. God fought the battle for them. But if you were in Jehoshaphat's shoes, who would have thought to say, you know, well, let's go ahead and send the singing crew out there and they'll take care of the army for us? Sometimes God's ways are not our ways. And yet when we seek him, he is waiting. We believe that God can do the same thing for us as well. We believe he will. He will show us. We're asking, Thursday we're going to fast, and we would ask, beg, whatever, that whoever would join us on Thursday. And you can do Wednesday and Tuesday and Monday. You can do all week. We're okay with that. But to join together and ask God that he would move and that he would show us on what direction and how we are to move. Our goal is to seek him and allow him to direct us, that we can bring glory to him. So in closing, why pray? It is our lifeline. Without it, we will not survive spiritually. Why fast? When we lay aside our physical needs and pleasures, humbling ourselves to hear what God has, God is waiting. And it says, he will reward us. What is that reward? What greater reward can we have than to be a vessel for him that brings honor and glory to him as we live our lives here on this earth? So may we seek him with our whole heart, not just this week, not just this time, but as we go through life, may we seek him through his word, through prayer and fasting, that we may live lives that would glorify him, and that his kingdom could be done on this earth through us, bringing glory to him. Walter, do you have a song? 827 in the Faith and Praise, and you can stand. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we just want to say thank you. Thank you that we can come to you in prayer, that you have given us this avenue to seek you, and we know that you hear and you're waiting for us. God, we thank you. Just so many blessings that you have given to us. And God, this week, as we go through the week, God, I pray that you would help us to seek you through prayer, through your word. And God, as we come in contact with people throughout the week, others, that we could show your love, share the gospel, that we could be an encouragement in whatever way, in the different situations that you set us in this week. God, I pray that you would help us to be a light for you and to be encouragement to others. So God, I just pray that you would bless each one here this morning and be with us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.